Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced. I'm your teacher, Ruth. You probably haven't heard my voice for a while, but I'm glad to be back in the studio and learning and sharing with you and some of our other teachers. Brandon, welcome.
It's great to be here, Ruth, and great to be here with you. It's been a while since we've been together in the studio.
That's right. I'm glad we have this opportunity. Now, today we're going to be talking about millennials. Are you a millennial, Brandon?
Barely. Based on the definition here, it says, I believe, 1981 to around 1996. Well, I was born in 1982, so I'm barely a millennial.
And Lois, are you a millennial?
Well, I'm not a millennial, but I definitely raised two of them because one of them is born in 1987 and one of them is born in 1990.
Well, some of our audience, I'm sure, are millennials. Some of you may be older, just a little bit, like maybe Lois and I.
Yes, right, just a little bit.
We are called the boomers, the baby boomer generation. They were born between 1946 and about 1964. So we're going to be talking about that today. If you haven't yet, please open your magazines to page 16. We're going to talk about dealing with life's challenges. And we have a good question to start with here. Do you meet life's trials with solutions or excuses?
Well, oftentimes I make excuses, Ruth. And this is a good reminder, especially in the second day we talk about excuses. And we can all make excuses, but we need to learn how to come up with solutions to our problems instead of making excuses.
That's right. In our first lesson, or our lesson for today, we're going to talk about a solution that some of millennials have discovered, and that is, rather than moving out to their own place, they're moving home with mom and dad. So let's read the first part of our lesson through line 22.
Dealing with life's challenges. Do you meet life's trials with solutions or excuses? Millennials living with their parents. How's that working out? After graduating from college in 2014, Dean Pierce, 24, weighed why he should or shouldn't continue to live with his parents. His conclusion: the pro is you're never alone. The con is you're never alone. 10 years from now, Pierce hopes to have a law degree. Meantime, Pierce is studying for his LSATs and working full-time at a coffee shop while living with his parents in suburban Chicago. Pierce is not alone. More than 20% of millennials born 1981 to 1996 are living with mom and dad, even though they have graduated from high school or college. That's up from 12% in 2000. Instead of buying their own homes like their parents did at this age, they're living at home until they get married.
Okay, well, I see we have that word, how's that working out? I often think about, how's that going for you? We often hear that today. So are you having a solution? Is this a difficult time? Is this not a difficult time in your life? So I think people that really care about you often say, how's it working out for you, or how's it going for you?
That's right. For example, maybe you've started a new job and someone wants to know, are you feeling good about it? Are you being successful? So they say, how's that job working out? Or maybe you've rented a new apartment. They say, how's that apartment working out?
Right.
And here for millennials, they're moving home to live with their parents. Now, millennials are about what age now in 2017?
They range from the 20s to mid-30s, really. Maybe mid-20s to mid-30s.
Now, usually in North American culture, when students or when children reach the age of 18 or maybe 22, it has been traditional for them to leave their parents and to go out on their own. Maybe they'll move to a new town and rent an apartment, maybe by themselves or with a roommate. But that's kind of expensive now, and they can't afford it, or maybe they can't find a job. So the easiest thing to do is move home with mom and dad.
It is. It is much easier. You can save a lot of money that way, and so people think, why not just move back in with your parents?
And we learn about a man named Dean Pierce. He's 24, and he weighed a decision. What was this decision he was weighing?
Well, he was weighing a decision about whether he should move back in with his parents or be on his own. So when you're weighing the decisions, I often do a list, the pros and the cons. And, you know, I just love what he says here. He's so honest. The pro is you're never alone. The con is you're never alone.
And this is kind of a fun idea because it's taking one simple idea, you're never alone, and thinking about the good things about it and the bad things. The good things are you always have company, there's somebody to talk to, and you're never lonely.
Yeah, I experienced this recently. I was in the U.S. for almost a year and a half, and I was actually living with my parents, and I can relate to this. You are never alone, so that's kind of nice, but the fact is you don't have your privacy as much because you're not alone. So I can understand this.
That's right. And again, one of the American cultural values is that individuals like to have their own space or their own time. You like to be able to sit down and read a book quietly without having anybody bother you. You like to be able to watch YouTube until midnight if you want to, instead of having your parents come and saying, Ruth, it's time to go to bed now. And you're thinking, Mom, I'm almost 30.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So that's the idea of the pros and the cons. One concept can have its good sides and its bad sides. And now Pierce is thinking about the future. He's planning ahead. 10 years from now, where does he want to be, Lois?
Well, he has some great goals here, Ruth. He wants to have a law degree. And it says, meantime, Pierce is studying for his LSATs and working full-time at a coffee shop while living with his parents in suburban Chicago. So obviously he's not right downtown Chicago. It would be a commute for him to get downtown.
Now, in North America, to get a law degree, you first have to complete university. So you've already done 4 years of university education. Then you have to take these exams called the LSATs, which are the law school admission test. Mm-hmm. It's a big, important test. And kind of like the Gaokao in China.
Yeah, my son took it, actually. Yeah.
And how you do on that will depend on what law school you can get into. So this is post-secondary education. So he's studying for this big exam, he's working full-time in a coffee shop, and he's living in suburban Chicago.
Right, so he does not have a lot of money, so he wants to live with his parents. He is living outside of Chicago, and you see that word suburban is talking about a suburb of a major city. And so typically it's maybe a few minutes outside the city. People live there and maybe work in the city.
Right, and they often live in houses or townhouses when you live in, as we say, suburbia.
That's right. Suburbia would be the noun talking about the area. Now, what do we say when he is not the only person who's doing this? What phrase do we have in there that Pierce isn't the only millennial who's doing this kind of thing?
Well, we did say he's not alone in doing this. So that means there's others joining him in doing the same thing. I don't mean that they discuss it and they say, let's all do this. It's just a common factor for the millennials to be doing this.
Yes, and this is a common phrase that we use. Someone is not alone. In other words, there are many, many more people who are in this same situation. In fact, we read that more than 20% of millennials, and as Brandon has told us, those are the ones born between 1981 and 1996. They're living with mom and dad, even though they've already graduated from school. And is that number up or down?
Well, it's actually up from 12% in 2000. And I think this is changing, you know, as the economy gets better. That number may go back down some, actually, and I think that maybe is the case even right now. So because the stats are constantly changing, the world is constantly changing, so it really depends on the economy, I think.
Right. In my home country of Canada, there are many millennials returning home after university.
Mm-hmm. Because it is cost-effective.
It's cost-effective, and if their parents do actually live in the city, I know in my experience, my parents made a basement apartment.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends have done that for their millennial children.
So they have a place to come home to that's in at home, but yet it's a little bit separate.
Exactly.
So they have a little bit of privacy.
Yes.
This is a good idea.
That makes a huge difference, I think. If you have a large enough space where you can kind of call your own, but even though it may be in your parents' house, you still kind of have your own area.
Right, and sometimes even like with a basement apartment, you have your own entrance, so you
exactly.
can go and come
yeah.
as you want to.
And that's, you know, I had the privilege of having that. It was wonderful. It's a wonder I got married.
Well, it's nice to have your own place.
Yeah.
Well, traditionally in North American culture, after someone graduates and starts working, they save money, they put down a down payment, and they buy a house. That's what the millennials' parents did.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, now housing costs have skyrocketed.
Right.
especially in major cities like Seattle and Vancouver and New York, you know, with an entry-level job, you just can't afford to buy a new house right out of college.
That's right. So that's a huge factor. And I'm sure some people, Ruth, they want to rent an apartment or something like that, but maybe they can live in their parents' home for rent-free or at a reduced rate anyway.
That's right. So they're living at home and they're saving money so they can get married or they can save for the next step in life. Now, also this generation, we could call them the boomerang generation. So let's read further here down in line 23.
The boomerang generation. Not all millennials who move out stay out. About 55% of them boomerang back to their parents' home by age 27, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Surveys Program, which has been tracking a group of 9,000 people from this generation since 1997. Most likely to boomerang are women, Caucasians, and college grads. "I had an apartment in Chicago," said Megan Kenahan, 34, a running coach and personal trainer who lives in her folks' finished basement. "It was tiny and expensive. I was miserable. I moved back. It's like having my own apartment, except I have more space than I can afford to have in an apartment."
We have this word here, boomerang, and it's used in a way that we don't typically see it. It's used here to describe a generation, and a boomerang is simply this flat, curved piece of wood, and, you know, you throw the boomerang and it comes back to you. Well, these millennials, they're coming back home, Ruth.
That's right. Actually, a boomerang is an Australian, not really a toy. I think the Aborigines used it for hunting as well as other things. But the idea is that it goes away and it comes back. Just like we read here that millennials move out, some stay out, but some boomerang back or come back to their home by about the age of 27. So that's after they've been out of college, maybe they've worked for a while and they realize it's too expensive and they can't meet their goals, so they come home.
That's right, and it says here not all millennials who move out stay out, and we've already learned that, and we get a stat here. It says about 55% of them boomerang back to their parents' home by age 27. So maybe they've graduated college, maybe they've even gone to graduate school, and they realize, hey, I want to save some money, so I'm going back home.
Right, or there's a number that find themselves with some student debt, and this is a great way of saving more money to get a hold of that student debt and eventually get rid of it quickly.
That's right. Now, this is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Surveys Program. So they've been watching 9,000 people from this generation since 1997. They're just tracking their habits and what they're doing. And who are the most likely to boomerang, Lois?
Well, it said, which surprised me, it said most likely to boomerang are women, Caucasians, and college grads.
So women, Caucasians would be, I guess you could be politically incorrect and say white people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And college graduates. I think for the reasons that Lois mentioned is they graduate, a lot of them graduate with a lot of student debt because paying for college in the North America and Canada and United States is quite expensive.
Well, and as we're reminded oftentimes on the news now, you do get entry-level pay. And sometimes, you know, students graduating from university don't realize that's not that great a pay.
Well, especially when you look at what the cost of rent is. You mentioned that rents are going up in Victoria, BC, and Vancouver. And I know I have a friend who is a millennial. She lives near downtown Seattle, and I think her apartment is just a studio apartment, which means it's one room. There's no separate bedroom. There's just a separate bathroom, but everything else is in one room. That little apartment is over $2,000 a month.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
So if you're only making $3,000 a month as a starting wage, that doesn't give you much money.
I think it really depends on where you live, right? Of course, if you live in a large city, typically you probably make more. But I think in some areas of North America, the rent is not so bad. But so that's more affordable. But a lot of these large cities, it's expensive, and so people just say, I'm going back to my parents.
That's right. I'm sure that some of our listeners in Taipei or Kaohsiung or even in Beijing or Shanghai know that the rents are very expensive in those cities.
Right.
And if you want to get a reasonably priced place, you have to move very far out of the city center. Well, at the top of the next column, we learn about a woman. Her name is Megan Kenahan, and she's a running coach and personal trainer. That is her career. She helps people with their running, to coach them maybe to run marathons or other long races. And she's a personal trainer. She encourages good, healthful habits and works with people so they can, you know, have good, healthy bodies.
Right. And she lived in Chicago. She lives in Chicago. She had an apartment there. But it was very expensive, so now she is living in her parents' basement. But it's a finished basement, meaning that it's livable. You can, you know, she goes there, she has her own space, so it's a good exchange for her, it looks like.
This is another interesting concept that I grew up with, because many houses in the United States, when they're built, the upper floors of the house are finished, but the basement is not. It's just concrete floor and then maybe some wooden studs, which are the boards that you nail the wallboard to. There's nothing there. And then after you've lived there for a while, you save money and then you finish the basement, which means you put up the walls and you put in the carpeting.
Nice ceiling and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So since Megan's parents' basement is finished, it's a nice place to live. So she moved back because her apartment in Chicago was tiny and expensive, and she was miserable.
Right. She was paying all this money for this small space, and so she was miserable. I can relate to that, I guess, in the sense that, you know, I would feel the same way, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know. And as many millennials will tell you, I might be in a great location in a city, but if I can't spend any money in this great location, in this fabulous city, you do become miserable.
So it's much more cost effective for her to live in her parents' basement, and she says she has more space than she could afford in an apartment. So she probably has to commute a little bit from her parents' house to her job, or maybe not. Since she's a personal trainer, she probably can work in various gyms around Chicago area. Well, let's finish our article for today with the next section called Making Room.
Making room. One out of six of our buyers have or plan to have a grown child at home, said Richard Bridges, sales manager at David Weekly Homes. They're not kicking them out. If nothing else, the trend strengthens family bonds that will be tested again when the aging boomer parents are unable to be independent.
All right, now we talk to a man. His name is Richard Bridges, and he's a sales manager. It sounds like he's a real estate agent at David Weekly Homes. And what does he say about the buyers that he deals with?
Well, he says one out of six of our buyers have or plan to have a grown child at home. And that's quite interesting, Ruth, that people are buying homes and they're taking into account to have these adult children living with them in their homes.
So in other words, if they're thinking about moving or buying a house, they're thinking, okay, I need space in my house for my grown child to come home and live. Mm-hmm. So they know that this is probably going to happen, and they're planning ahead. So that's a good thing.
And some parents, Ruth, maybe they want to kick their kids out, but some are welcoming them back home. So that's two different ways of looking at it.
That's right. And the phrase to kick someone out means to forcibly make them leave.
Exactly.
They're not welcome anymore.
There's some funny movies about that, actually, if some of our readers want to look them up.
Right. So, and again, you know, we mentioned earlier in the program that the pro is you're never alone and the con is you're never alone because your parents are always there. And I think for parents, it's hard to remember that your child is an adult and not try to control them.
Right.
For example, when I was in high school, and it may be the same for you two, is I had rules. I had rules of how late I could stay out, when I had to be home, and, you know, how much TV I could watch. And now that a child is, you know, 27 or 30, can parents really enforce those same rules?
Well, it's kind of strange, I have to say. I think it's hard for parents to do that because they are adults. But, you know, they're also, the kid is still living under their roof, so I think there can still be some rules, but I think in order for everyone to be happy, there probably has to be lots of flexibility.
Right. And also, I think a lot of respect.
Right. And I think that's why when this article has mentioned it, and Ruth and I, we have definitely talked about it, it's nice when your child can have like a little separate apartment, whether it be in the basement, the side of the house, or some people have a garage that they make like a carriage home, and the children can live over that depending on the climate you're living in North America. But it's like the best of both worlds, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, traditionally, the American idea has always been that parents raise their children up to leave the nest. In other words, that is a value that people have always had, is they want their children to move out and be independent. And so they're not always checking on them all the time.
Right.
You know, are you getting enough to eat? What time are you going to bed? You know, do you have a boyfriend? Are you going to be getting married soon?
Yeah.
Those kinds of questions are not common for American parents to ask their adult children.
Yeah, we think of it as interference, right? Mm-hmm. We just don't want our parents doing that.
Whereas I think in Asian culture and Chinese culture, those kinds of questions are much more common because that's the way the parent shows concern for the child and wanting their best well-being.
I think what is really difficult is being a millennial, being maybe in your 30s or late 20s, and you're used to being independent, and then you move back to your parents' home. I experienced this recently. My parents were, you know, they gave me space and everything, but still, it's hard because you're used to doing everything on your own, and so that can be a huge challenge for the kids moving back.
Yeah, and you know, Brandon is a son. I have a son too, and he's 30 now, and mamas can kind of baby their son, and I think sometimes we forget, you know, your son's in his 30s, leave him alone.
Yeah,
that, again, I say is a common North American ideal, is that your children are independent, you let them do their own thing. Well, as we read in line 15, it says, if nothing else, the trend, which means the idea of millennials boomeranging back home, strengthens family bonds because you're living with your parents, you're spending time with them, and it's nice for older parents especially to have their children living with them because they can help them out.
Yeah, that's right, and you can spend quality time with them. Because I've lived in Asia for a long time, I had a chance to spend some quality time with my parents, and so that's a pro or an advantage of living at home.
But at the same time, these bonds are going to be tested, again, because of this whole independence issue. The child wants to be independent, but yet they're living at home, so their parents have expectations. So sometimes that can cause some friction.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it's so important to have respect. Mm. In other words, children need to respect what their parents' ideas and rules are, but yet parents also need to respect the fact that the child has some intelligence and some
exactly.
Ability to manage their own lives if the parents have done their job right.
Right. In North America, the millennials will very much be familiar with the term that you need to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for both. The parents need to have boundaries and the millennial children need to as well. And you do get along better that way.
And yes.
Things work more smoothly in the household.
Also, I think it's a very good idea for millennial children and their parents to discuss what those boundaries are.
Right.
In other words, not one of the problems I think people get into in many situations is you assume that your child understands what you want, or your child assumes that the parent understands what they want. And those assumptions are not always the same. So it's much better to discuss it and say, okay, you know, this is what I expect. And then the parents say, this is what I expect. And then they can kind of work out a compromise.
Right. That's a great idea because you can waste a lot of time, thinking about these assumptions, and you're frustrating each other.
Yes. And
so you
can
have a family meeting.
Yeah.
Right. And
right?
You can come be very resentful of that. Well, and we're specifically talking about aging boomer parents. And we mentioned this at the very beginning of the program. A boomer or a baby boomer is part of the older generation. I am a boomer. I was born toward the end of that generation.
Yeah, me too. Towards the end of that generation. I happen to be one that has elderly parents, so I feel the squeeze. I have children now 27 and 30, and I have parents in their 81st year. So, and both living, and one with Alzheimer's. So it is, You know, I feel like, whoa, my boomer years aren't that fun right now.
Well, we all have responsibilities that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope that you have found this article interesting, listeners, and perhaps you can relate to it. Perhaps you are living at home with your parents, or you're considering moving back. And it's interesting to think about this whole concept of the boomerang parent. Now, let's quickly, before we run out of time, let's go back and look at some of those vocabulary focus words. We hope that you can really use these in your life. What decisions do you have to weigh, Brandon?
Yes, if you're weighing your decisions, you're thinking about the pros and cons. You're thinking about what are the advantages and disadvantages of this particular decision. Maybe you are thinking of moving out. You're mm-hmm. living with your parents now, and you're thinking of getting your own place, and you're weighing that decision.
All right, and Lois, do you prefer urban living or suburban living?
I would say I prefer urban and then rural. So I kind of like this idea of suburban, but I grew up that way, so it's not something that I really enjoy that much anymore. I like the urban I've been experiencing, uh-huh. and I hope in my retirement years it's more rural.
Well, that's good. As we learned in the article, suburban means outside of the city, and it used to be that was the place that everybody wanted to live. But now, because of the commuting time and the traffic, it might not be such a good option. Well, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed talking about millennials and dealing with life challenges. Come back tomorrow because we're going to talk about excuses. We'll see you then. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.